It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
And that's how I made my first $1 million.
What are you going to tell me how you made your second $1 million?
After I make my first $1 million.
Oh. That doesn't make any sense. You just told me how you made your first $1 million.
Yes, but I haven't had done that yet.
Oh.
That's how I will have had
Oh, okay. Those verb tenses can get really confusing.
Yeah.
English is a difficult language to learn.
Quite.
Even by native speakers.
Did you see... You must have seen... Have you seen the trailers for Enter the Spider-Verse?
Yes.
Like... I don't give a shit about Spider-Man, and I am excited for that.
Oh.
I think that looks very cool.
Yeah, I mean, the animation looks really good.
Well, and I like it. It's got Spider-Gwen, who I don't know anything about, who looks cool. It's got a little girl with a robot spider, who I don't know anything about. That looks cool. And it's got Spider-Ham, voiced by John Mulaney. Like, that, I'm excited about that. Like, no, that looks, I'm excited. I probably want to go see that in the theater.
Okay. I don't know if I will, but maybe.
Really? What is what?
Maybe.
You love Spider-Man.
Not really. I don't really care that much about any Marvel property. Spider-Man probably more than most.
Yeah.
But no, I probably...
Did you see the two Amazings?
The what?
The two Amazing Spider-Men.
Oh, before they rebooted the whole thing? Yeah, I did see that, but not in the theater.
Okay.
Nope, I didn't see that.
Yeah, before they MCU'd it.
And I didn't see Homecoming in the theater either.
Oh, really?
Nope.
I always thought you were big into your Spider-Man.
Not really.
Your Spider-Man's.
I mean, yeah, probably more than other Marvel characters. And probably Iron Man. I was very excited that they were making a movie with Iron Man in it, actually.
Interesting.
And also, for completely different reasons, Captain America, because... as I think I've explained.
You are uber patriotic.
Well, no. First of all, he's kind of pre-Marvel. He's like a legitimate golden age superhero. And there was a TV show, a Captain America TV show when I was a kid. So I don't know. Now, there was a Hulk TV show when I was a kid, too. And I don't know why that didn't make me like the Hulk more. But
I
guess I was never that much into the Hulk.
I love MCU Hulk. Because I love Mark Ruffalo and because they give him some good lines. I have never... Like, okay. I don't care about Spider-Man. We know this.
Yeah,
we've discussed this. I understand that that's personal to me. And I am not confused, let alone bothered, by other people liking Spider-Man.
Sure.
I don't get why anybody gives a flying fuck about Hulk. On a basic conceptual level, he's a movie. Like, a movie about a guy, something happens to him and he turns into a monster. He's Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Kind of, yeah.
That's not a series. Certainly not a series of films. Certainly not decades of comics.
Well,
like, I don't understand that one. He's not interesting, in my opinion.
No.
But it doesn't make me angry or anything. Cause
well, I mean,
you wouldn't like me when
you're angry. Spider-Man comic strips were in the newspaper also when I was growing up, and so I didn't read them faithfully. But every once in a while, I would go ahead and read. And my older brother was a big fan of Spider-Man, not as big as say Superman, but. So, Spider-Man holds some meaning there in terms of when I was growing up and stuff. But, yeah, I didn't rush out to see the movies. Now, we saw the first, is it Tobey Maguire?
Yeah.
We saw that Spider-Man while we were in Indianapolis at the second Star Wars celebration.
Hmm.
And it was kind of a big deal for us to see that.
I saw all three of the Sam Raimi Spider-Man in the theater.
Yeah.
I think
I did too.
I definitely saw the first two. I think I saw the third. Because two was good, and so, like, we all thought three was going to be good. So we went and saw it. It was not, but, I mean, we saw it. I didn't see either of the Spider-Man, Amazings, the Andrew Garfield ones.
You haven't seen them at all?
No.
Oh, well, we saw
them. And I am fine with that.
We saw them at home. We didn't go to the theater.
Then I saw Homecoming in the theater, because it's MCU, so I gotta.
Homecoming was good.
I don't know yet. We'll have to wait and see if the next one's past the mark, so I don't have to. So I don't know if I'll bother.
Did you hear that? Okay, so you probably didn't hear this because I'm not sure everybody's reporting it. There's a specific YouTuber who has reported this, and I thought, well, this woman seems to be the only person reporting it. I'm going to see if I can find it anywhere else. I finally found it somewhere else, but that person was reporting that she reported it.
Is this about how D&D is satanic? Yeah, no, I've heard.
No. That since... Okay, so Ezra Miller, who played
Flash.
The Flash in Justice League, and I guess he also played the Flash in Batman v Superman.
Yeah, for like 2 seconds or whatever.
And they were going to make a standalone Flash movie.
Yes.
And they were going to make it based on a story called Flashpoint. Which
really?
They were, which involves...
That would be hard to fit into a movie.
I would think so. I mean...
But then again, we fit Infinity War into a movie.
So. The first and second season of the TV show dealt with it.
Yeah.
And that seemed like about an adequate amount of time. So a film seems like you're really trying to...
Yeah.
But anyway, for those who don't know, Flashpoint involves Flash going back in time to do some stuff.
And alternate universes happen and things.
Exactly. But because... of his schedule, particularly with the new Harry Potter movie things, Crimes of Grindelwald and all that nonsense.
Oh, is he in those?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, he is. He was in Fantastic Beasts, and he's in this movie that's coming out. And I guess he's in a third one or something. So
there's five of them, so.
They've pushed his...
Way out.
Yeah, to like 2021,
I think, yeah.
Okay, so.
Is that why they're moving Wonder Woman?
Well, I'm getting to that.
Okay.
So, now... It's pretty much as soon as Batman v Superman, a lot of people thought it was crap.
Yeah.
And actually...
Wait, back up. Pretty much as soon as Batman v Superman was crap.
Okay. Well, and for some people, it was even earlier. Like, for me, even after Man of Steel, I was feeling this way.
Yeah, definitely.
But definitely after Batman v Superman, and there was talk about there being a Flash movie, already people were talking about they should make it a Flashpoint. So they can undo all the crappy things they've done. And it started out as a joke. But then they announced it was going to be Flashpoint. It's like, oh, maybe that is what they're going to do. But then because of Ezra Miller's conflicts, they pushed it out. And then they moved Wonder Woman.
Yeah, Wonder Woman 1984 recently got moved. It was going to be 2019. Now it's 2020.
November 2019. And now it's June 2020.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And nobody could, and some people thought, oh, well, because they don't want her movie to be in the same year as Marvel's Captain Marvel or something. But what this person is reporting is the reason they delayed it is because they're changing it. It's still going to be in 1984, and some of the story is still going to be the same. But what she's reporting is, indeed, they were going to sort of, as they say, soft reboot the DC Cinematic Universe. They're going to soft reboot it with Flashpoint.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't want to wait so long as 2021 to do it. And since...
So they're going to start it in Wonder Woman?
They're going to do something in Wonder Woman to soft reboot everything.
Huh.
And this person reporting this thinks it's going to be a Flashpoint type of thing. In other words, a timeline or a reality is going to be changed by something Wonder Woman does. I suspect that's not what's going to happen. I suspect what they're going to do is something like in Rebirth. In what happens to Wonder Woman in the Rebirth series from the comics, Rebirth is an event in the DC
Comics. Yeah.
And what happens there is it's revealed that a certain entity, we'll just say, has fiddled with reality such that, that Wonder Woman actually comes from two different realities. Like her clay origin, for example, did happen.
Okay.
But also...
Her Zeus origin.
Both of them happened. Yeah, okay. And I think when Rebirth was done, I think they just left it that both things were true somehow.
Well, and that's the only way that it works, since technically this Wonder Woman takes place before parts of the last Wonder Woman.
Well, right.
And it takes place before Justice League.
Well, right. And also...
And Batman v. Crappy Man.
If some people are saying, but she can't do something in 1984 that totally changes Batman and Superman, because in 1984 they're already there.
Yeah. Being, but that's what I'm saying. So your thing where you split them instead makes more sense.
It makes more sense. And it's based on, like I say, there was a comic event called Rebirth, and this is what happened to Wonder Woman. She ended up having really two different stories that she can remember as if both of them happened. And this was caused by... Should I say who it was caused by? The only reason I'm not saying is because I haven't seen the comic that verifies it, but I think everybody knows.
I don't care.
Okay.
Well, I don't want to spoil. The rest of you, jump ahead like 30 seconds. Say the name.
Dr. Manhattan.
Okay. What?
Yes.
Ooh. That's weird.
Rebirth and Doomsday Clock after it, the event after it, is all about...
Is Watchmen tie-in.
Yeah, it's a Watchmen tie-in.
So Watchmen presumably are from the other universe?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Interesting.
I thought it was interesting for this reason specifically, because
I bet it really pissed off Alan Moore.
I think there are a lot of critics who would say that after Watchmen in the 80s, after the actual thing was published, the DC Comics sensibilities, I guess you would say, split into two. You had some people... who wanted it to be dark and edgy and who's watching the Watchmen. And you had some people who wanted it to stay hopeful and upbeat and whatever.
Yeah.
And so then you get into Snyder making his movies, which were clearly influenced by Frank Miller and all that stuff. And Ayn Rand, yes. And that does represent one strain of DC, but it doesn't represent the strain of DC that your average casual audience member wants to see. But what caused that rift? Dr. Manhattan so why not? Basically what Rebirth did was it acknowledged that Watchmen was the cause of this, so they made Watchmen actually be the cause of it. Made Dr. Manhattan actually do something to the universe to split it into these two things.
That must have really annoyed Moore, because the whole point is that essentially is a very thinly veiled satirical metaphor. So
I think
that's
kind of annoying. I think it did annoy Moore, actually, for that very reason.
Also, I don't know. It doesn't pass the sniff test for me. If that's them using that in these movies, I don't feel like that's going to work.
Well, I don't know if they'll use Dr. Manhattan. I don't know use. They could use anything, see?
Yeah.
Because they already have established. They could use...
got a little James Cagney. They could use anything, see?
They could use anything, see? No, like...
Hey, no pigeon.
I mean, they could use... They could use Darkseid if they wanted.
Kurt Russell's not doing anything. It could be Ego, you know? Oh, wait. And I lie. He is doing something. He's in some damn Christmas movie that's coming out for Netflix. Yeah,
they could use anything. They don't have to use Watchmen or whatever. But I think that's probably what they're going to do. It's probably not going to be a time thing. It's probably going to be a reality thing.
Yeah.
And also, another thing...
Well, and they've already been fucking with that. I mean, Batman v Superman already did different realities.
Well, and the publicity's already been out that Steve Trevor's
that
coming
alive
back.
Alive somehow, yeah.
So now you've got a reason to bring him back.
That's true.
He didn't exist in that timeline at that place, and now he exists in this one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's not weird, because one thing I heard...
As opposed to it being his son, and then they have to fight the commies. I want a Wonder Woman movie that's the time when she lost her powers and learned Kung Fu for a while in the 70s.
Yeah.
Where she was just a martial artist.
Secret agent kind of thing.
Yeah, like that was weird.
Emma Peel is what she was.
What do you mean?
That's really what she was.
I want a movie of that.
But, Denny O'Neill, that was Denny O'Neill's idea. And he thought that would be so empowering
Well, and that was the time, but that was, I think that's when we got Green Arrow hooked on heroin and shit like that, mm-hmm. too. Like, we were doing a different gritty version then.
I think Speedy was hooked on heroin.
Oh, Speedy, a little on the nose.
Well, I'm that's sorry. That's the way it was.
I got to slow down, man. Hello, everyone. Welcome to part two. I'm not explaining how the show works, because if you don't know, go back to the episode before. I explain it there. But this is part two, and this is usually when we get kind of punch drunk in the second episode.
Why did I never think of that?
I don't know. So, how much of the Arrowverse are you watching?
It's funny you should ask, because for some reason...
I have a friend who's watching all of it, and I'm like, holy shit.
For Arrow specifically, last season, something happened where we somehow missed the last three episodes, and we didn't even bother catching up.
I've had shows where it's like I missed something, and then I just sort of stopped.
If it were any of the other shows, we wouldn't have done that, though. We would have definitely caught up on, if it were Flash, we would have definitely caught up on Legends.
Legends you're watching.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm watching them all. Yeah.
Supergirl and Black Lightning. Yep. All right.
Black Lightning's very good. I mean, it's...
Yeah.
Black Lightning is really not in the same... I mean, all these other shows are kind of silly and whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Black Lightning is actually
well, which is why they're
TV.
Not, and they're not doing nearly as much crossover.
Yeah, I don't. With it, yeah, they're not really doing that.
Although I think they will a little with the Elseworlds.
It would be okay if they
whatever.
Did. I would
well,
like.
Well, and they have a little, I thought, but.
Well, other heroes have been mentioned.
Yeah.
But in Black Lightning, but no, Black Lightning is really good. But yeah, I'm watching them all. But yeah, we missed like three episodes of the end of Arrow's last season. We didn't even bother. I was watching Gotham also, which isn't technically in the Arrowverse, but
no.
We missed several of those episodes of the last season. We didn't even bother, and I don't think we'll watch this season.
Gotham is being watched by like six people, and those people really love it.
Yeah, isn't that weird?
And all the rest of us, like, I don't watch it. And, like, people whose opinions I trust really like it, but somehow just in my head, I can't envision it not sucking. I don't know why.
Well, there are things I like.
But again,
about
and it's DC. I don't, you know, yeah. I don't really give a shit about DC.
There are things
unless
I like.
Unless you got
about
Wonder Woman or Green Lantern, I don't care.
There are things I like about it, but I wouldn't say it's a good show, but there are people who really love it. I don't know what that's about, but
I'm still well into I'm getting into Orphan Black pretty good. Really liking it. I think my brain is just giving up. All of the clones are just different actresses now. I think my brain has just stopped. Because I no longer even pay attention to how a scene is shot when more than one of them is there. And I used to do that. I'm like, oh, how are we? And now I just, like, just recently I was like, wow, there was a bunch of stuff with two of them in a room, and I didn't even pay any attention to that.
All that stuff's very well done. She's amazing.
What cracks me up, so, there's three British, there's essentially three British characters in the show. Characters. And basically everyone else is American. Occasionally you get a French person or a German or whatever, but there's three actual Brits. Felix, Sarah, and Mrs. S. Felix, the actor, is American.
Yeah.
And he's doing a really good job as a Brit in this. Yeah. And meanwhile, there's tons of British actors in this pretending to be Americans and things like that. but it's... So, you know, I am confident a lot of shows created by Americans that are set in other countries screw up little details. However, I'm American, so I don't notice. It is not super common that you get to see shows made by other countries set in America, at least for me. And so I don't get to see the other side of it. Orphan Black's America mask is slipping occasionally.
Oh, yeah.
And it's in a lot of just like only a, like not impossible things, but just not as feasible. So, like, they had a party, and they were serving sausage rolls. And I'm like, that's a very British... Like, we would have them, maybe, but that's a very British thing. The neighbor is named Ainsley. I'm like, that's not a very common American name, but it's a quite common British name.
Okay.
we want to know what's happening with his one husband. What's he getting up in the night to do? He's getting up to watch cricket. Again, technically there are American cricket, but like that's a little weird. But then we had a big one. We're trying to find out somebody's secret, and someone's secret turns out to be porn. And the porn tape that we focus on is called Big Boobed Blowies. And I'm like, I know what a blowy is. No American uses the word blowy, ever. Blowy is just blowjob, but it's a British version of it. And that's the thing. I'm like, no American uses that. So I'm like, see, you're screwing it up. But it's, and it's fun to watch because it's just weird to me. You know, I'm born and raised in the greatest country in the world, so I'm very focused. So to me, like, how can people not know these details about America? Like, you know, are in my head. So that kind of cracks me up, but still liking the show quite a bit. And I'm very excited because everybody's like, it gets way better. And I'm like, well, I'm really liking it now.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things. N.K. Jemisin, I talked about her. I read a trilogy of books I really liked by her.
Mm-hmm.
These were the first books she wrote. She's got a series that's out that's like the hot new thing right now that everybody's all over. And everybody's like, and people who have read both, they're like, yeah, that one you read is good, but this one's way better. And I'm like, then anybody who hasn't read her stuff should start with the ones I did.
Mm.
Because you're like, this is really good. And then you read the others and you're like, this is even better. As opposed to, you read these are amazing. And you read these, oh, I'm disappointed. Like, it's sort of like in the Assassin's Creed games. Play the first game. It's really cool if you haven't played any Assassin's Creed games. After that game, you will realize it sucked by comparison. But that game, at the time, seems very cool. So do that. Given how much I like Orphan Black right now, I'm pretty excited.
Yeah.
So we'll have to see. So reviews aren't great for it, but I'm still really excited to see Bohemian Rhapsody.
One of the reviews I heard was quite positive, even though, yes, Rotten Tomatoes isn't very good.
And it looks like it's hit or miss throughout the film. A lot of the reviews are like, when it's doing this thing, it's very good. When it's doing this thing, not so much. But, yeah, I think I can't imagine not enjoying it, at least somewhat. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of stuff coming up now that I want to watch. We've kind of had a dearth of movies we gave a damn about in the theater.
Yeah, I don't... I mean, we...
The Hate U Give is coming, and we're trying to decide if we're going to see that in the theater or not.
Yeah, yeah.
We're absolutely going to see it, but wow, is that going to be rough.
Yeah.
That movie looks... As soon as I saw it, I'm like, oh, I have to see this movie. It's going to be really hard to watch.
Yeah, probably.
But, like, the topic of police shooting unarmed black men and killing them is kind of a big deal. And I'm really glad that there's a movie that's now taking that head on and is very important. It's going to be rough. So, yeah, I don't know yet if we'll see that one in the theater or not.
We don't really have any. I mean, we'll probably see Aquaman in the theater. But other than that, we don't have any big plans for seeing a lot of movies for the rest of the year.
The most recent Aquaman trailer almost made me want to go to the theater to see it. It looks fun. I might see it later. Like, most of the DC stuff I won't ever bother with. But Aquaman, I'm like, if I'm bored... Maybe I've had a couple beers. It's on cable. I might watch it.
We'll probably watch it in the theater. And we'll, you know, Shazam, we'll watch that. That's much later, but...
Yeah. Shazam, I'll wait and see. I might do Shazam. That looks... It looks good.
It looks fun.
And it looks different.
Yeah.
It looks original. And you get a lot of points from me for that.
We'll see how it goes.
I almost kind of wanted to go see Venom. Like, I know Venom's making all the money, so they clearly made the right call. But I am not alone in being one of those people that almost certainly didn't go see it in the theater basically because they gave it a PG-13 rating.
Oh.
Because I was like, That's the dumbest fucking thing ever. Mm. You don't make a Venom movie and rate it PG-13. Mm. That's ridiculous. The very nature of the character is R-rated.
That's true.
I
mean, I don't even know Venom very well, and I know that much.
I did a wiki dive recently on all the symbiotes. There's a lot of them.
Oh, are there?
Well, yeah, because Venom was very popular, so then they just made a bunch of others. And also, because it's a weird parasitic symbiote, it's real easy for it to have babies.
I guess.
So there's,
I thought there was just Carnage and Venom.
That's No. There have been lots of people creating versions of them, and then some of them meld together, and then secret government organizations make others. And also, a lot of them change depending on which host they're with. Mm. Venom's had a lot of different hosts. Mm. And, like, weirdly, I would say more often than not, Venom's a good guy.
Really?
Yes, most of the time. There are exceptions, and as with what I found out with a lot of long-running characters, whether they're a villain or a hero frequently depends on who else is in the story. Because it's like, yeah, I'm a good guy, but I hate that motherfucker. Mm. And this is a problem, because Eddie Brock, when he was with Venom, always hated Spider-Man. And there were times when they worked together, but it was like forced to kind of thing. Mm. He always had it in for Spider-Man. Spider-Man was a hero all the time, so that was the thing. But no, there were quite a lot of times, and it's always a thing of the symbiote happens and who takes control, the host or not. And so, like, there was a time when Venom had been a good guy kind of for a while, and then he got on this one person, and this person was an asshole, and he was like, fuck you, we're going to be bad. And so then they were bad, and there's a lot of things involving Carnage, because Carnage was technically his kid, and then Carnage was really bad, and so there was some weird sort of guilt issues related to that. And then you find out that this is a whole species, and, like, Venom was an outcast version from them for a variety of reasons, and actually for different reasons, depending on when in the series you check it out, and all sorts of stuff.
Huh.
I don't know if I talked about this before. I recently... Did I talk about Gwenpool?
I don't think so.
Are you familiar with Gwenpool?
No.
All right. So, I'm watching cosplay videos again. Because everybody's just so happy in them. I love it. And I keep seeing this character that occasionally... Some of the videos, they actually named the character. Somebody said Gwenpool. And it looks like Deadpool, but it's a girl in a pink and white Deadpool outfit with no mask and blonde hair with, like, pink at the bottom. And that's the thing. The first time I see it, I'm like, oh, it's Gwen Stacy and Deadpool. Somebody did a mashup.
Sure.
But I see it frequently with different people with a very similar outfit. And I'm like, is this a thing? So I look it up. And she's fascinating. Gwenpool is a real character. It's not Gwen Stacy.
Oh.
It is a teenage, I think teenage, maybe young adult, I don't know, a young person named Gwenpool.
Oh.
Who comes from what she refers to as the real world, which is a place where Marvel Comics exists, and she's a big fan of them. She somehow got pulled into the Marvel universe, and at some point decided she was going to be a superhero and went to... Apparently there's some character in the Marvel Universe who is famous for making superhero outfits. And went to that person to have a superhero outfit made. And due to a combination of the fact that the person misread on the name on the form and had an excess amount of pink fabric around, they thought that she had something to do with Deadpool. And so they essentially made her a Deadpool costume in pink and white. Mm. And her only power appears to be the fact that she knows she's in a comic book. This leads to a bunch of things. First of all, she has a lot of insider information. She knows, like, people's secret identities and shit like that because she read about it. Yeah. She actually has the ability to skip between panels in between or to throw bad guys into them where they are trapped. Mm. And she also just knows she's in a comic book And so she does things that logic would say will kill you, but she knows it. She jumps off of buildings and stuff because nobody ever dies in a comic book just because they jumped off a building. Mm. So she knows that something will happen to, like, she'll hit an awning or something like that. And that appears to be her whole, like, superpower. And she was a one-off joke that was popular enough that she even had her own limited run series and stuff.
Wow.
And I find her fascinating.
No, I never have heard of her.
It's very cool. And yeah, that's her whole thing. She has no, I think there are times where, you know, she's somewhere where some entity, I think she has superpowers for periods of time. But for the most part, she just, her ability is to know she's in a comic.
Interesting.
I thought it was very cool. Yeah. No, I didn't. I must not have talked to you. Yeah. I thought I had brought, I've been bringing that up to people. I'm like, do you know about Gwenpool? Because I just found out about Gwenpool. This is really cool. Yes. All right. Enough comic talk. Let's draw some stuff out of the hat. Maybe somebody asks us about comics.
Maybe.
That would be funny. Oh, Shuri's getting her own comic line right now. Shuri from Black Panther. Yeah. Apparently it's pretty cool.
Craig wants to know, what's your favorite TV jingle? Or are there any that you really hate?
The Liberty Insurance one has really been messing with me lately.
Liberty Insurance?
Yes. It's relatively new, I think, insurance company, because I never heard of them before. But their entire jingle is Liberty, 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 Liberty.
That's it.
That's it. Hmm. But, like, that's it. So then it gets stuck in there really easy. Did you ever watch Cheers when you were younger?
Sure.
There's an episode. Later seasons, it was when Kirstie Alley was on there.
Okay.
And she hires an agency to write a jingle for the bar.
Okay.
And they send her John Mahoney, and who was the father on Frasier, that actor.
Oh, okay.
And he's apparently, like, their shittiest writer or whatever. But basically, he's done a bunch of them, and you find out basically all of his things are just words about the business thrown together to the tune of Old MacDonald. And she's really pissed about this. But then, like, shortly after she, like, throws him out or whatever, one of the guys, because he was saying, like, I did this one, and he sings it, and it's Old MacDonald, and he's like, I did this one. And as soon as one of them was, like, for an automotive place, and he's like, tune-ups, that's our game, whatever the letters of the business were. And she throws him out because it's stupid, anybody can do that. And then one of the bar guys is like, oh, now I got that song in my head. You know, I do need to tune up my car. I should go by there. And she's like, oh, my God. And so then she goes back to get him. But that's the Liberty thing, too, is it's like, and I've been noticing this about commercials in general. The idea is not always to make you want to buy the product or service. Sometimes it is just to stick it in your head so tightly that when you need that type of product or service, that is the first thing that comes to mind.
First thing that comes to mind, yep, that's right.
And that's like Liberty Insurance is stuck in there, driving me fucking nuts.
Most political ads and signs out in front, that's what that's about.
But that's been fucking me up lately because Kim Reynolds, who's running for governor on the Republican ticket, her whole deal is lower taxes and cheaper health care. And I'm just like, those seem to not go together. I mean, I'm not saying it's impossible, but those seem to kind of counter each other in a way. I feel like you should say more. Like if you just said, like, you know, lower taxes and stronger borders or whatever, I'm like, okay, yeah, no, I get those are two platforms, whatever. But this, I'm like, I feel like you're only two things you're talking about are kind of fighting with each other. How does that work? But I already voted anyway, so I don't have to worry about
too.
That shit.
I voted yesterday. Yeah, that'd be a week and a day ago to the people listening.
Yeah. It was a long time ago. Last month.
Last month.
It's true.
Yeah.
That's how they get you.
Well, I suppose people listening to this won't have voted yet, I guess, but they're going to in just a few days, right?
Yeah. Or you may have voted early, like some
like,
of us do.
Like we did, yeah. Now, you voted early, though, what, at the auditor's office or something? Yeah. I voted absentee ballot.
Coffee told me one Monday, she's like, yeah, early voting's open.
Yeah.
I'm going to try and do it today. I'm like, holy shit, it is? So then that week, there was a day when Trish and I couldn't have lunch together because she had a thing. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to go vote. So then I went and vote.
That was a good plan.
I like voting early. I do not like dealing with it. I don't like the stress of it. Yeah, me too. I'm just too lazy to bother to remember to do that. But the stress of it, like, it has to be today. And there's a lot of people there.
Right,
I don't like that. Yeah. So I'm like, I just get it out of the way. And Trisha feels similar. I think she's going to do it this weekend.
Smart to vote early.
Just get it out of the way. And I do like that. I mean, not like any political ad has ever changed my mind about anything, but there's a certain degree of like, oh, political ad. All right, I can ignore this. Even if I changed my mind now, it doesn't matter.
When I was a kid, I loved jingles, but that's because they were all pretty good.
Yeah.
I liked the Big Mac jingle from McDonald's.
Right. That was a good one. Beef patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on sesame seed bun.
Yeah, it was great.
It's weird that I still know that. Like,
I know too.
They stopped doing that when I was probably like 3,
yep.
But that's still in my head.
Then there was one jingle I remember. This wasn't from my childhood. This was more recently, but it was terrible. It was for invisible fencing. You know, like a dog wears a collar, right, and then it beeps a little before the dog gets to the edge, but if the dog doesn't pay attention, they'll get a little shot.
Okay, couple things. Like, I'm going to be very interested because I don't remember a jingle for invisible fencing. But also, that was some bullshit stuff because I'm a kid, and they don't tell you that's how it works. They're just like, invisible fencing. Your dog doesn't go past your yard. And I'm like, yeah, that sounds wonderful. I'm a little kid. We don't have to chain him up. That's great. It was only years later. It's like, yeah, because they fucking shock him.
Shocks the dog.
So he is scared to pass by that because he has been hurt before.
Actual classical conditioning, he gets scared of the beeping sound. Then he doesn't even get that close.
But I'm like, yeah, you could do the same effect with a baseball bat. And you just stand outside. Like, what the hell?
It's inhumane, you're saying.
Yes, and the commercial makes it sound so, like, more humane than the usual one of put a fucking leash on him.
Well, I can't say that I remember the jingle very much because I'm very good at driving things out of my brain that I don't want to remember.
When your dog hears the beep, he shits himself. And
no.
That's just the whole song. And everyone's like, I gotta buy that.
Does your dog
not properly fear humans?
So something about, does your dog wander around town, or some dumb thing about your dog not staying in your yard?
Yes.
It was so poorly written, and the music's bad, and the vocals are bad. I'm thinking, this is a professional person who made this jingle?
I just love that the initial concept is your dog just wandering around town.
Yeah.
Then you're a bad dog owner.
Well.
Like, the commercials I used to see are like, chaining it up. Doesn't that seem so cruel?
And at the end, it was something like, invisible fencing, the best something you can get or something. I don't remember.
Or.
It was really bad jingle.
Also, visible fencing could help.
Yeah.
As well. Rope.
That's the only one I can remember that was really bad. But most of the ones I remember are good, if I can remember them, which I'm, of course, right now I'm drawing a blank except for the Big Mac one.
You are in the Midwest, so did you grow up with the Empire Carpet one? For the best time in the
Not until I lived here.
Oh, wait, that's My Pillow. Sorry, I'm thinking of that one. Not until Iowa City did you get that.
Yeah.
All right.
Empire.
Sorry, I just sang the My Pillow one, so clearly that one has gotten in there.
My Pillow one's in there, yeah. I don't like the My Pillow one, but.
I don't either. But it sticks there. That's the trick. I don't know. I find something weird about. What if that's your job? Not to write them, to sing them. Because some of them, like, really, like, get into, like, a rock and roll thing. Or, like, some of them, I'm like, you're singing hard about...
Oh, yeah. Like,
a truck and shit. And I'm like, that's...
Think of...
That feels weird.
Think of Have It Your Way at Burger King. That was a jingle. And, you know, it was like... Obviously, the people who wrote the song and performed it was like supposed to be uplifting or something. Have it your way.
Yes.
At Burger King, you know, and it's like, wow, they really produced this song for just being a jingle about hamburgers, you know.
And they really got into it.
Yeah, they really got into it.
Which I'm like, that's what you pay them for, and it probably pays good or whatever, but I'm like, it still feels weird to me.
And the Coke song, though, that's based on a different song, right?
I'd like to teach the world to sing, yeah, you mean? Yeah. Yes.
But then they changed it to Coke, and yes. Then it gets weird.
No, I'd like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony. I'd like to something the world. It's not by and Coke. I'd like to something else the world to something. Like hold the world's hand or some shit like that.
Yeah, I don't even
that
know.
One's that. Always weird when they sneak those know. In. Well, and then, of course, then you get into things like Feliz Navidad.
Yeah.
The song.
Yeah.
I cannot hear it without, when it's at the end, I want to wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom of my heart. Mm-hmm. And from Taco John's.
Oh, I thought that was Taco Bell.
No, it's Taco John's. For Taco John's? Navidad Nachos.
Oh, okay.
And that's the only thing about, like, it's just the normal song. But at the end, he's like, I want to wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom of my heart and from Taco John's. And, like, literally, if I hear the actual version, I put that in at the end because it's just in my head.
There's some that only were only at Christmas. Like, Kmart had a special Christmas jingle when Christmas would come along. And I remember that to this day, even though I never see a Kmart commercial anymore.
Well, I think they're gone.
Yeah, I think they are. But they used to have a jingle that they played only at Christmas time.
And then there's all the songs that I love when they use a really old one. And I'm like, kids are watching this and they don't even know this was a song before. Like a Rock was something before the Chevy commercials.
The Alka-Seltzer commercial jingle was still going strong in my day, even though it was quite a bit older.
It was not, but jokes about it were going on in my day. Like,
plop, plop, fizz, fizz.
Exactly. Plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is. Was a jingle for Alka-Seltzer.
Yes, it was.
It also is a completely ready-made playground joke.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you don't even need to add any context.
No.
Just by itself. And so, I was saying that before I knew it was an Alka-Seltzer jingle. That's just a thing we said, and we're it's about pooping. Like, that was it. Like, it was years later that I was like, oh, that's from a commercial. Okay.
Yeah. There was a local TV commercial as you know, I'm from a farm that's near Melcher, Dallas, Iowa. That's where I went to school. Not far from Melcher.
You're a suburb of Melcher, Dallas.
Not far from Melcher, maybe 15 miles or so.
How far from Dallas?
About the same.
All right.
It's a town called Carlisle, Iowa.
All right.
In Carlisle, Iowa, there was a Wright Chevrolet. Apparently a Chevy dealership.
All right.
Owned by some guy named Wright, apparently. And they used to advertise on the Des Moines stations, which is what we watched. And they had a jingle, make the most profitable drive in Iowa. See Wright Chevrolet. That was the lyric.
Uh-huh.
And that just stuck in my head for some reason. Like I would just be at school or I would be driving somewhere and somehow that would just pop
and that,
in my head.
More than jingles, is like catchphrases and things. I still have in my head, I'll paint any car for just $99.95,
yeah.
Which drives me insane because every once in a while we talk about painting the car and it's like $1,000. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
That's another one. The first time I heard it was when I moved out here.
That must have been national because I heard it growing up.
I think he was. Really? You did?
Yeah.
Oh. And what was that guy's name? Ives?
I don't remember.
This line was Ives something?
What
was that guy's? But by the time he was doing commercials that I saw, he was older and he looked like maybe that's the only thing he any longer knew how to say.
Just trapped in that.
Let's get him from the nursing home and put him in front of the camera.
Most local commercials fall into two categories.
They'll say it pretty soon.
Which is just like, the most common is I am some sort of, I'm suffering stress or mental illness, therefore you should get this stuff. Or, I don't give a shit. I'm going to set a price and you're going to buy it and it's going to be good. These are like the only two. I'm either a straight shooter. Here's what it is. Come and get it. I'm not one of those fancy ones or whatever. Or I am some sort of anxious, terrified, insane, take advantage of this. Yeah. So, apparently, Detroit has quite a history of odd local commercials.
Detroit does.
Yes.
Yeah.
There is a comedy show. There's a sitcom, I guess, basically, on Comedy Central called Detroiters. That is these two guys that live in Detroit, and they are advertising agents, but they're like really low-end advertising agents. I have watched maybe half an episode of this show, so I don't know a lot about it. But apparently, it's loaded with fake local commercials of the type that used to be around. And apparently, if you are from there and grew up in the same era that the two guys, the two main characters are also the creators of the show, apparently it really hits home because like a lot of the commercials specifically parody specific local commercials that happen. So it's kind of a good show, but apparently if you were from Detroit at that time, it's like really funny. The only thing I love from it is in the commercials, they had the two guys walking down the street and they had a couple of tourists who showed up and they're like, we're going to go to such and such. Is that a safe neighborhood? And they're like, yes, it is. You hear all the weird things about Detroit. It's fine. We're not, we're still a city and all this. And one of the couple is like, yeah, honey. Besides, it says it's just a 15-minute walk away. And the guys are like, walk? No, you'll be murdered. And that's the only thing I know about the show, but I always think that's hilarious.
So like Mad Men, except in Detroit.
Yeah, and shitty. And like really shitty. Local commercials are amazing.
They can be.
They
can be.
Such weird video toaster effects. Nowadays they just always they seem angry.
Who?
The people on the local commercials. Oh, yeah. Furniture, it's a lot of furniture. Ah, this couch is $300. I should make commercials.
You should.
I'd be good at that.
Yeah, you would be great at that.
All right, give me a hat. I'll draw a thing. That's my favorite jingle, Craig. It's couch, $300.
Those like those,
right? You got hot dogs and dents for your babies. So apparently Alexa, like Amazon Alexa, they built into it. There's an RPG that like you can voice activate and it'll carry you through things. Hmm. And so my friend's telling me about it, and I was like, you can be like, Alexa, get ye flask. And Alexa's like, I'm sorry, you can't get ye flask. And then we kept going. I'm like, Alexa, call me Dairy Queen. Okay, Dairy Queen. Alexa, no, I made a mistake. And then he's like, Alexa, whose account am I on? I don't know. Or, who am I? I don't know, but you're on Dairy Queen's account. No! All right, Jazz wrote, what are the best, worst time travel stories? Oh, I feel like I've talked about this a lot. I have strong fucking opinions about time travel.
I was just thinking about this today because I was thinking about why I like Legends so much, because I do like that show.
Yeah.
I think part of it is, as far as good or bad time travel, we've talked about this a lot, actually. I don't really like time travel stories. Mm-hmm. They're just too rife with inconsistencies, and it doesn't make sense to me, and I just find them distractingly bad. That said, the only time travel stories that I ever remember watching that I was entertained by and not annoyed by was the Back to the Future stuff, and pretty much nothing else. I mean, even when I watch Doctor
Who... And those are horribly inconsistent.
Yeah. Even when I watch Doctor Who, the time travel aspects of it are the least interesting to me, and I like it when they...
Well, and it usually is vague enough. They work really hard to... Right. Time travel does whatever we want it to do this time.
But I do like the idea. For some reason, I like the idea of, like, one of the things Legends does is that there's someone keeping track of what the timeline's supposed to be, which is problematic by itself, but if that's the rule you're going to set up, fine. I can accept that.
Yeah.
And then it detects a so-called anomaly, and they go fix it. I can deal with that. Again, it's not like there's no problems with it. It's not like it's annoying, but it's simple. It's straightforward.
Yeah.
It's, and I can enjoy the rest of it. And there's a lot of other things about Legends of Tomorrow that I can enjoy because they make the time travel thing so straightforward and simple. And NBC's Timeless is similar, actually.
Mm.
I don't know, though. So I can like it.
Timeless has some paradox, but not enough paradox, bothers me. But, I'm like, pick one or the other. Either ignore it or do it.
But my wife loves time travel stories, no matter what they are. So, and sometimes I can enjoy them just because she's enjoying them. But Legends doesn't bother me. Timeless doesn't bother me. But if it's a thing where the story is the time travel and they're trying to wow you with some paradox or some weird thing, often that just annoys me and I don't get into it.
Well, and frequently it's just a comedy and then I don't worry about the time travel. But, and I've said this many times and I'll say this to the day I die. My time travel, like what I think is the right one, and I know theoretical physics doesn't back up, but this is the only one that to me eliminates paradox, is Gargoyles time travel.
Yeah, that's right. You've said that before.
Which is that it's a single timeline. So anything that you did to change it, you already did that.
Right.
So if you're like, I'm going to go back and fix things, either you already did that,
mm-hmm.
and that is how we got to where we are now, and you'll go do it again and whatever,
right.
or no, you didn't. Something happens before you have a chance to do that.
Right.
And this is predicated on the idea that no one has ultimate knowledge of the timeline.
Right.
It's the same way. Nobody can tell the future. Because in the same way nowadays, somebody can't tell you in 5 years this will happen.
Right.
Because if I tell you, you will change the behavior of what you did.
That's right.
Unless I always told you that and that caused something to happen.
Right.
And you get those, the time loop things where it's like, where it becomes Oedipus Rex. Like, I tell you this terrible thing is going to happen. Well, I will work really hard to avoid that. And actually, the things I do to avoid that are what makes it happen.
Right.
Like, that fits in there. But nobody can be, like, outside, have knowledge outside the timeline, essentially. And that, to me, is the only way that works. And also, to me, that's the only way it's really interesting. Because that's when a time travel story is interesting, is we're talking about it. We know about it. So in theory, we can avoid it, but we didn't. So how did that come about?
Right, right, right.
Well,
in a way, when you think about it, as soon as someone invents a time machine, then everything they do with that time machine was already set.
Yeah.
Future or past.
Yeah.
Whatever they were going to do with that time machine, it's going to happen. And I probably was going to happen before they invented it if it was inevitable they were going to invent it. Because that's another thing, is when you invent this time machine, presuming you're going to use it to go back in time, well, you already have done that.
Yeah.
Everything that has happened up to you building the time machine has determined that you're going to build the time machine, that you're going to do whatever you're going to do when you go back, going to do whatever you do when you go forward. So a time machine inventor, I guess, in a way, is someone whose life is absolutely determined from the very beginning.
I think I've talked about this too, but the role-playing game Continuum tried to take a very realistic look, a version of time travel. In that game, all the characters literally have the ability to move through time at will, which is complicated as hell.
Right.
But part of what they basically did is at a certain point in 22-something, time travel is made public. And from that point on, the very nature of how humans live change.
Sure.
So you're playing characters from roughly our time period. You are legally not allowed to go past that point. Mm. You can't go up there and see what happened. Only people who are actually born there can exist there.
Okay.
Things are measured in certain eras, and those are that's the Aquarian era, and Aquarians are weird. They don't look quite the same as normal humans, and they'll occasionally come to, but they're very mysterious and you can't go up there. You'll get in deep shit if you go up there. Likewise, if you go back a few thousand years, everything's a disaster, because we have the good guys in Continuum believe there is only one timeline. And attempts to change that just cause paradox, which makes things unstable and horrible.
Hmm.
The bad guys, which are generally referred to as narcissists, think that you can splinter off into a different timeline, and they will do things to cause paradox in order to try to achieve another timeline. Mm. But what actually happens is they just essentially paradox themselves out of existence. Mm. Now, there have been wars fought about this, and most of them were fought in this chunk in the past, and basically the whole place is just a giant paradoxical disaster.
Oh, wow.
So you can't go back there either, but that one's not, you'll get in trouble. That's, if you go back there, you'll probably be ripped apart by the paradoxical forces of it.
Sure, sure.
And then everything else is based on this idea that if you do things that contradict each other, you acquire paradox, and it's like a physical condition. Mm. And if you acquire too much, you start to get weird and confused and remember things weird, and eventually you can sort of blow yourself up out of existence. And so everybody keeps, and it's funny, the characters do this and the players also have to do this. They keep a book of what is called their yet, which means that that's their future, their personal future. So it's their, what they have yet to do. And so this gives you tremendous power. And like the example they use is you're sitting watching TV and you've run out of beer and you don't want to get up to the fridge. You reach under your chair and pull out a beer that you will have left yourself later. But in mechanical terms in the game, you get a point of paradox for that. And that point sticks around until sometime later when you remember to and put a beer down there. Mm. So you go back in time, put a beer down there. And then that you lose that point. So you can sort of do anything you want, but you have to then have made it happen at some other point. And it also means that combat is heavily abstracted because it's crazy. People are like, I'm going to go back 5 minutes before you knew I was going to attack. Oh yeah, well I'm going to go back before you were born. And I was, and so they just have like, here are certain strategies. And then, you know, you roll dice as appropriate and things. Cause they're like, you can't actually play out time combat.
Right, right.
And it varies because you have like levels, and so like you get introduced to time travel and you sort of see how it works, and then later you can be some of the people who like deal with time traveler society, or some of the people who go and find these narcissists and things like that. And then further along you get more responsibility, and then you eventually find out how it is we can all do this and things like that. And it's very interesting. It always just sounded terrifyingly comic. I was too chicken to ever run it. But it was such a neat idea, and they had thought it through so thoroughly.
Yeah, that sounds really interesting.
But I was just scared to run it.
You have talked about it on the podcast before. But one thing that I've thought about when it comes to time travel is the biggest problem is that I don't know if this is going to help if I explain it this way or not. It's, this is the way it helps me think about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think of human beings as belonging to a fractal dimension, which means because we
can... That might be the nerdiest sentence you've ever seen.
Because we can remember the past, but not the future.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we live in three spatial dimensions. We are 3.5 dimensional beings.
Okay.
See what I'm saying?
Three dimensions and half of the fourth.
Right. If we could remember the future like we remember the past, we'd be fourth dimensional beings.
Yes.
Okay, so establishing that, what the problem with time travel stories is, it's 3.5 dimensional beings
operating in four dimensions.
Yeah, right. If you assume the person has somehow become a fourth or higher dimensional being, then the whole story changes and the whole way it's done changes, which I think is what, when you're talking about the game where you get into the Aquarians and they've basically evolved,
yes,
to this other thing. And
yes,
so time travel to them is completely different.
Because time travel happens from birth for
right,
them, basically.
Right, right,
yeah.
It's part of, they are, in my, what I'm saying is they're a higher dimensionality.
Yeah.
And time travel is only problematic for someone who's really shouldn't be doing it. If you're a 3.5 dimensional being, you shouldn't be messing with four dimensional stuff.
And you can make some interesting, essentially horrific stories involving that thing.
Right.
We've done time travel, which should never be done. And like Dresden Files, that's one of the laws of magic, is never go against the currents of time. And it's for that exact thing. If as close as we can come to actually talking about time travel, if it were possible, it would be reality warping and reality
right
damaging.
Right, right.
So, no, you absolutely have a point in that. And, yeah, and that complicates things.
But consider this, too. If another thing about a fourth-dimensional being doing these things is a fourth-dimensional being to us, we wouldn't even be able to see them. So, or interact with them. They could go all over our time stream and they could watch what we're doing here, but they wouldn't have an impact on it in a way that creates paradoxes, because they wouldn't be interacting with us.
They would, or would they just be omnipresent?
Well, it's kind of like the model I use for this is, you know, Flatland.
Yeah, I didn't read it, but I'm familiar.
The story Flatland.
Yeah.
And then there's someone else wrote something else called, I think they called it Sphereland. But anyway, there's an interaction between a sphere and the square in Flatland.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing about all that is the sphere can see inside the square, can see inside closed boxes, like you know. In a safe that to the
because they're looking from.
Above it.
Up. Yeah, basically.
So to the square, you've got a locked safe, but the sphere can see right into it.
Yeah.
But also, the sphere is completely invisible to the square. There's a point where the sphere tries to make itself visible to the square by going through the plane, but then the circle just looks like a dot that turns into a circle that gets bigger and then gets smaller and then is a dot and then disappears, which to the square's view is almost a mystical thing to happen.
Yeah.
You know? So... so...
But wait, couldn't... Assuming it had the locomotive abilities to stop midway, wouldn't it then be a circle that could interact with the square?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. Because that's how I assume a fourth-dimensional being gets to pick where they are the same way we are, and also gets to pick when.
And kind of what they look like, I guess.
Well, potentially. Yeah. But my point is, I feel like they could interact with us.
I suppose.
If they wanted to. The way they would avoid it is basically... they would never be in the when where we are in that where.
Well, but there also might be a kind of like entropy and the laws of thermodynamics. There might be laws in place that prevented naturally, I guess,
prevented them
from doing harm to our time-space continuum or whatever.
Yeah.
Which, again, is why we shouldn't be doing it. We shouldn't even be allowed to do it. And then when we do it, we're going to screw it up. Just like the game sort of points out. I think the way that game has figured it out is very interesting.
There's a series I read, I think called Orphans of Chaos. It's a pretty good series. It might be arguably a young adult series. Maybe not. Maybe it's a grown-up series. I don't know. It does have some weird bits in it, including some weird fetishizing of spanking. But it's basically... I know, right?
This is a book? Or?
Yeah, it's a book.
Okay.
It's a series of books. And it's about these British school kids who, like, they're five kids and they're the only ones in the school. And they eventually slowly figure out that they've been here for a long time, not aging, and they are, in fact, essentially hostages. That on Earth, the Olympian gods run things, and they are hostages from various other pantheons, basically.
Oh.
And what's interesting about them is each of them have... powers, supernatural, divine powers, whatever, that work in a weird circuit. So there's four of them, and each of them can basically completely shut down one of the other powers, but in turn can be completely shut down by a different one of the others. Mm. And it's... one is essentially a scientific approach to things. One is a ritualistic... sympathetic magic approach.
Sure.
One is pure willpower, and one is a hyperdimensional approach. And that's our primary POV character is the hyperdimensional one, and there's a lot of things where she learns to do, and she eventually has to make up new names for it. So she's like, I went further to the red, because she needed an extra dimension for that. So it's like not up down. She's like, I went red, and yeah, that was really fun, and then their interaction was very fun, too. But, yeah, then there's some weird, kinky stuff involved, too. I don't know why. Like, it's not... I would not say it's an erotic story at all. It's a perfectly normal fantasy story. It just plays in this stuff. Nothing explicit, but There's some weird romance angles, and everybody involved has like magic powers, so then it gets weird.
Okay.
It's just odd, but anyway, we're over time.
Oh, sorry.
So if you'd like to learn more about other dimensions, time travel, and spanking, that's a real specific request. Go to the blog. That's unrelated to my earlier statement. Just go to the blog, say some stuff. Tell us about your time travel experience or the ones that you will have later. Also, tell us your TV jingles. Because you deserve a break today. So get up and get away off this podcast.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.